I think the Lord wants to challenge us in ways that sometimes we don't think we're ready for. But God is faithful. He gives us the grace. He gives us the understanding. I read something earlier this week that went something like this. God has prepared or planned the road ahead of you, and He's preparing you to walk on that road. You know, so sometimes we kick and scream and complain as if God doesn't know the end from the beginning. He knows everything about you and about me. So I pray that you hear what the Spirit says this morning. Sometimes I have a hard enough time getting the words out without a mint in my mouth. We're going to go to Romans chapter 6 once again. I had actually thought of going in a different direction this morning, but either God's not wanting that or I'm not ready, and I want to be ready to deliver the message I thought I was going to deliver today. If you would recall, last week we traveled in the first half of Romans chapter 6, so we're going to begin at verse 12 today. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone and as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. For I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You know, that's what this life is all about. We're being made holy. It's not just a one moment in time and everything's fine. We'll never sin again. We'll never miss the mark. Sanctification is a submission to the process of allowing God to make us holy, because we can't do it. We're unable to do it in our own strength. Therefore, what benefit, verse 21, were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, here it is again, having been freed. It's a done deal. Having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. Powerful stuff here. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the Bible says. Salvation is a gift. You might think it's a choice, but actually it's a gift. God gifts it to you. So, here we go. Last week, we talked about aspects of our relationship and covenant and love and union with Christ in verses 1 to 11. Verse 4, we are buried with him. Verse 5, united with him. Verse 6, crucified with him. Verse 8, died with him. And verse 8, we live with him. And I've learned most of the time when the Holy Spirit begins to, I don't know what the right word is, prick, nag, be persistent, won't let go of something, I've learned to say, okay, what is it what you're saying, and what is it you want? What response do you want from me? And so I had that sense most of the week, even though I intended to preach another message. And that I could have touched on more in Romans chapter 6. And I read, reread, and revisited things. So I would call this United with Him, Part 2. So the first point is related to being crucified with Him and buried with Him. The believer is also resurrected. Are you hearing this? Every blood-bought believer is resurrected or raised with him from verse 13 in Romans 6. You, as those alive from the dead. you were dead, but you didn't know it, because you were submitting to another master. Paul was saying here in Romans 6. That master was sin. And it colored your judgment. And it will always color our judgment when we make the wrong choices. So present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, it says there in Romans 6:13. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, or we should say, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, it says, in our transgressions, it's a long word for sin. Even when we were dead in our sin, he made us alive together with Christ, or in Christ. By grace you've been saved through faith. And verse 6, he raised us up with him, as if that wasn't enough, and he seated us with him also in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's talking about our position in him, a position you could not obtain in the flesh by your own good deeds or by works. He did it. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him from the dead, it says. So, go back to earlier in Romans 6:5. I didn't ask you to put up there, but it says, if then we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, it says, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a package deal. God accomplished it through his Son on the cross for you and for me. Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised up or risen, King James renders that, or literally what it's saying there is raised together with Christ. If then you have been raised together with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't like or we don't understand some of the modern translations. But it gets me to think about things, and I like reading a different rendering. And the Passion says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. If you're identifying with him, in other words. This is where we are to yearn for all that is above. So, what do? We need to live in the reality of what the Scripture says. Not on this level, but on a spiritual plane, on a different plane. Live in the reality of what he has done and what he has done for you and in you. He did what you cannot do. You will never be able to do it. That's why he's God and you're not. Galatians 2:20. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Is that enough? Who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't have to do it. He chose to do it. Do you understand that? That's what makes it so awesome and powerful. He didn't look away from the cross. He embraced the cross. The very same thing that we need to do. Instead of trying to detour around those things we don't like that God is putting his finger on, we need to face them. And he will give us the grace. He will show his faithfulness. in those circumstances, in those things. He will enable us, as Romans says, to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Secondly, we have freedom in him, or we were freed in him or by him. Verse 18 in our text. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes is what? Freed from all things from which you could not be freed from the law of Moses. It's talking about you will never be able to measure up to the law. It's a heavy taskmaster. And we were not made to be able to do that. There's a place in us that needs to turn to him, to trust in him. And we will be freed. We will find that freedom which he has made available at the cross of Calvary. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, that's the first part, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It's talking about when God gives us the victory in a certain sin or a certain area or a certain challenge, don't go back. The Bible says that's like a dog returning to its own vomit. Don't go back there and repeat the same mistakes over and over again. He's made a provision. He's freed us. But we have to embrace that freedom. We have to walk in that freedom and depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. The Amplified renders this, in this freedom, Christ has made us free. He has completely liberated us. Completely liberated us. Did you know there was a word, spreaking? I didn't either. I'm sure I'll find out one day. Not today. It's speaking of a broader issue here, that a freedom that's given by Christ to all who believe by faith in the finished work of the cross. It can't happen up here. I'm sorry. It'll never happen there. It has to happen spiritually or in the heart. I saw another cute thing just yesterday or two online. It was a little boy, and there was Jesus. And the little boy says, "This is all I have to give you." And Jesus says, "That's all I want. That's all I'm after." John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And the Passion says you will be unconditionally free. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unconditionally free when he makes us free. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, to live for Christ, to live in the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. Galatians 5, 16 to 18, it continues to address our need to walk by the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. But I say, Paul speaking to the Galatian church, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under a law that you can never live up to. Perfection. God's not looking for perfection, in case you haven't figured that out yet. He's looking for a willing heart, a teachable spirit. He's looking for a response of obedience when he talks to us in love. That's what is being referred to by Paul in Romans 6:4 when it says, walk in newness of life. We need to know who he says we are, what he's done for us, who he says we are in him. Thank you, Jesus. We need to know his love. I think sometimes we have such a superficial or shallow understanding of how deep the love of Christ is. Paul goes into that in Romans. Nothing can separate us from his love. And your life should be an expression of his life and of his love, united with Christ. By him and for him and for his glory. I always get a song without fail. And I know this is one of my favorites from Jesus Culture, and I know it's one of Kim's favorites. Nothing, holding nothing back. Oh my goodness. Kim Walker Smith belts this one out in just incredibly powerful way. I am chosen. I am free. I'm living for eternity. Free. Now. Forever. My chains fell off. My heart was free. Whew. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you, Jesus. I'm free to live, free to give, free to be, and I'm free to love you. Powerful song. Had the team do that at the end, but I didn't give them a heads up. No holding back. Number three, we have faith in him and with him. From verse 4, earlier in Romans 6, where it's talking again about walking in newness of life. Passion renders us, we have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Amplified, that we might habitually live and behave in newness of life. J.B. Phillips, so that we might rise to life on a new plane altogether. It's not about what was, it's about what is. G. Jesus says. What I've made available, what I've accomplished on your behalf. Romans 7:6, we've been released from the law. That's just what it says. You don't have to try to interpret it. It says we've been released. We've been set free from the law. Having died to that by which we were bound, so that we can serve in newness of the Spirit, not oldness of the letter. You know, sometimes there's a thin line between reverting, trying to do it in our own strength. And that's when God gives us a love tap and reminds us, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why I went to the cross, not you. But it's also why you need to bear your own cross and follow him. Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. But my righteous ones shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, in other words, tries to earn favor or standing with him by works, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back, but of faith to the preserving of the soul. Again, it's pointing to the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, we should. Colossians 3:9-10. Since you have laid aside the old self, or died to self, to live for Christ, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed. It's a process. We have to make choices every day. Every choice will bring us to him or away from him. He won't force us to make the right choice. Put on the new self to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Talking about standing in faith, Ephesians chapter 6. God's provision, the full armor, and so forth. Trust and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can't trust your feelings. Sometimes it might seem like you can, but you can always trust the leading of Holy Spirit. He'll never lead you astray. Number four, we have a future with him. Verse 22. Having been freed from sin, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Hard to wrap your head around that. What is eternal life? It's not, you know, angels flapping around you. Everything's whatever concept of you that you have of heaven, I assure you, it's not going to match up exactly. We have a future with him. It says we were freed from sin and we derive our benefit, the outcome, eternal life. That word there is translated the end in many other instances here, including Hebrews 3:6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confession and the boast of our hope firm until the end. That's the same word it's talking about when it says the outcome of eternal life. And Hebrews 3:14, for if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. So if Christ has a part in us, in other words, if he has our heart, if he has our loyalty to him, no matter what the cost, what it's talking about here. We have an end. We have an outcome. It's called eternal life with him. You know, sometimes I think, and I've thought this, sometimes I think I'm gonna live to a ripe old age. Well, actually, that's true. Because when I physically die, I don't die. My spirit carries on into the heavenlies. So I am going to live to a ripe old age with him. But not in the way where most people mean it or say it. It's a process, and that's what the writer of Philippians is pointing us to when it says, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, it would be nice if life had no challenges. Not really. Because we wouldn't get to see how great is our God and how good our God is. We wouldn't ever know the depths of his love and his grace if we had no challenges. No disappointments. 1 Peter 1:9, obtaining as the outcome, there it is, same word, of your faith, salvation of your soul. James talks about this, James chapter 1, verse 12, talks about, blessed are the man or woman who undergoes, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved. You could render that, once he passes the test that God gives him. Once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I don't know what that crown of life is, but I know it's going to be glorious. I don't think we could conceive in the natural that it would match up with any kind of crown we've seen on earth. It's going to be a heavenly crown, fashioned by the Lord himself. So we need to receive and believe by faith all his promises. You know, sometimes we don't like to read the Old Testament because it can be gloom and doom, but there's still things to be learned from it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plan. I have a plan, God says. Gee, what a surprise. A plan to give you a future and a hope. Not for calamity. Not that you would be a failure, but that you would be victorious in Jesus Christ. And finally, and there's actually more in this sixth chapter, but finally, we reign with him. Or we rule with him. It says elsewhere, we're a kingdom of what? Priests, kings. We will reign with him. Verse 23 in our text. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift, there it is again, of God, is eternal life in Christ. Second Timothy 2:11-12. It says, if we endure, in other words, if we stay the course, if we endure, it's a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon that is before us in this life. It's a few short years compared to eternity. But it's years that God ordains, God plans. 1 Corinthians 4 talks about servants and stewards of the things of Christ and the mysteries of God. Verse 8, again it says, we will reign with him, together with him. I don't understand that. I don't know, what's that going to look like? What's that going to mean? Well, I don't think we have to worry about that now, because when the time comes, we're going to find out what that means. I was talking to a dear friend of ours. We took advantage of the nice weather on Thursday, was it? What was the warmest day, Thursday or Friday? Friday. And we went to Hampton Beach. And so I never bring up the topic of eschatology. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I said, I don't care what you think about it, because when it happens, it's not going to be what you think or what you thought it would be. But the main thing is, you will be with him. You will reign with him in that. All the preparation time, that's over when he takes us to our eternal home. Revelations 11:15, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. And those that are his will reign with him. So, what does that mean? It means we have to submit to this process of sanctification, of being made holy, of being made into the image of Christ. It's not something we can do. It's not something we can decide, okay, I'm going to do this. No, he does it. He accomplishes it for his glory. Submitting to this process of being made ready. Revelation 19 and verses 7 and 8 talks about the bride being made ready there. And Ephesians 5:27, preparing a church without spot or wrinkle. There's a lot of spots and wrinkles in the church today. Why is that? Because people don't allow God to do the work of preparation. They don't listen to the voice of Holy Spirit. No spot or wrinkle. United with Christ and united with his plan. That's the goal. His plan, his purpose. And then we will be equipped with his power. To be victorious, to be the overcomer, he called each one to be. Glory be to the Lord, both now and forever. Unto him be the glory in the church. Amen.